Hi, everybody. Nice to see you and welcome everyone to this wonderful event. Our subject today is the main theme of Sefer Kohelet. What is the message of Sefer Kohelet? And what we are going to develop is the idea that there are two possible paradigms, models, or lenses that one can choose to look through in order to understand their life, their purpose, their job here, all the big questions. In this discussion, we will identify, number one, we will focus on, and I would say explain, the difference between so many opposites that we work with all the time. Tzadik Rasha, Tov Ra, Schar Onesh, Tamei Tahar, and most importantly, we're going to try to get another angle on tefillah. What is tefillah about? Now, in order to understand the two paradigms and to understand what Kohelet is about, we have to realize that there's a phrase that repeats itself over and over again throughout Sefer Kohelet. And every time it's repeated, Shlomo HaMelech warns us that to be in that place called Tachat HaShemesh, under the sun, is to doom yourself to misery, suffering, pain, not only in this world, but in the next world. This idea that things that are Tachat HaShemesh are Ra, they are bad, is a constant refrain in Kohelet. And in order to understand what Tachas HaShemesh is and what Ra is, we have to understand that it is the other paradigm, the wrong model, the wrong lens to look through, and it is obviously compared to the right one. Now, the right one, the lens that we are meant to look through, okay, is the lens in which we see that all the mitzvahs in the Torah are exclusively for us, for our benefit. Twice the Jewish people were Mekabel Torah. Two times, Shavuos. And Shavuos begins with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It begins through Makos and the Yam all the way till Shavuos, till the giving of the Torah. At that point, the Jewish people were Mekabel the mitzvot because they saw through the proper perspective, and in that perspective, through that lens, all the mitzvahs were precious because they were to our benefit. We wanted them for ourselves. The other time that the Jewish people were Mekabel Torah mitzvahs, a very similar thing happened to what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, the Jewish people said, we recommit to the Torah because it's good for us. Viewing the mitzvos as good for us is diametrically opposed to viewing the mitzvos as a way for keeping God happy so we can get the stuff we need, because we're very helpless and vulnerable and scared, and there's a lot of voids we need to fill. So let me keep God happy, obey God, so he'll be happy with me, and I'll get what I need. This model, okay, there's no truth to it at all. The model we saw at Har Sinai, the model we saw in Purim, is the mitzvos are for us. Now let's explore that. What did we see both through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah and again on Purim? Well, everybody knows that through the Makos and the whole process, we saw that not only is all of nature obviously controlled by, governed by, you know, and managed by Hashem. We saw more than that. We saw that in the Makos for sure. We saw that in the Yamsa for sure. But we saw much more than that. That itself is not that important. What we saw was that we, the Jewish people, and everybody who aligns their thinking with the Jewish people and adopts their lifestyle and commits to what we committed to. Everybody else, you know, the Jewish people is not a closed group. Everybody's welcome as long as they are in the same frame of reference and commit to live the same way. We saw that not only is everything part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's everythingness, and he has control over everything and manages everything, which is called the Yichud Hashem, that Hashem is Echad, and everything is contained in that. We saw that message will be revealed to the world through us. That we were the vehicles to bring to the world the idea that everything is contained within the everythingness of Hashem, which is what the Ramchal calls the Yichud Hashem, the Echad. There's only one Mitzius, one reality, and it includes everything. And the message that this is true comes through us, through Am Yisrael and the people that become part of Am Yisrael. Now, in the Yetzias Mitzrayim story, this was taught through nature. How Hashem took nature and manipulated it to distinguish between every Mitzri and every Jew in the Makos and turned all the laws of nature upside down, split the sea. And we, the Jewish people, were the vehicle, because all this has all happened for us and through us, that we were the vehicle to express this idea to the entire world. And we were so thrilled and elated and overjoyed to see the oneness of everything and to understand, and this is what we expressed in the Shiras Hayam, to understand that even the most incomprehensible parts of our story, like the persecution in Mitzrayim, that too was all part of expressing and revealing that there is nothing outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing outside the plan, and there is no power in the world that can interfere, damage, sabotage, or in any way get in the way of Hashem's determination to reveal to the world the Yichud, the oneness of Hashem. And we were the vehicles, and we were so thrilled that we said, and we saw so much, we understood so much, as you know, that on the words in the Shira, Ze Keli V'Anvehu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. The Mefarshim say, Anvehu, Ani Vehu. I am part of Hashem's story, of Hashem revealing this Yichud. Also, we know that the Jewish people on the Yam said, Mi Chamocha Be'elim Hashem. Who is like you, Chazal say, Be'ilmim, among the deaf mutes, meaning we couldn't understand why you were quiet during that period of suffering, why we couldn't see that you were there. And now when the curtain, so to speak, goes up and we get to see that everything that ever happened and all of nature and the entire story and everything we went through is all part of a single Yichud, a single oneness, which is good and perfect and eternal and comforting. When we saw that, we even were able to appreciate the fact that you were mute and let us go through that process. That too was part of the big picture. And we were able to actually be glad, be happy for it and enjoy it. By the way, just the caveat, Sefer Iyov. Iyov is a person, and the Sefer is essentially a mashal written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Iyov as a person goes through the entire story that the Jewish people went through. Mitzrayim, confusion, he lived 210 years, then he got a great revelation. Same thing, Iyov is a person representing the whole journey that Am Yisrael went through. Now, we saw that on Pesach, and we realized that when Hashem wanted us to take upon ourselves the Torah and commit to it forever, it was so that we would never forget. And we would have a way of living that constantly kept us aware that we were part of something very, very big. And knowing that we were part of it and that we were never alone and nothing was random and nothing was outside and everything made sense and everything had a purpose. And one day it would be revealed to everybody. This Yichud, Umala Kol Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. We saw that. And we realize that the mitzvahs will keep us focused on that continuously all the time. Here's a mashal, and then we'll get to Koheles. What could be a mashal of existing, not separate from some great power who's a big boss and can, you know, make rules and threaten us and say, if you obey me, you'll get what you want, but if you don't, you're doomed. Don't start, you know, I wouldn't try. You know, that's not the model. That doesn't exist. But what is the model of being part of the Yichud of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, and being a vehicle for that message and realizing that if we are part of it, we are never alone. We are never unknown, unseen. We are never unloved. What is the model? What can there be that we personally are familiar with where someone exists entirely as part of someone else's existence. Think about it, okay? The fetus, Hashem gave us a mashal. The fetus in the womb, okay, is part of its mother's existence. And if it can't know that, that is not its own fault. It's because there is that wall which the fetus can't see through. So if it had questions such as, how did I get here? What explains my existence? Where am I being supplied my sustenance from? It can't really know that answer directly unless the wall of that uterus becomes transparent, and then the baby says, okay, this explains everything. I'm part of something much bigger than myself, and it explains everything about my existence. Am Yisrael were the first nation who experienced what we might call the transparency of the uterine wall, and they said, this is what explains everything. And to live with that knowledge is to live in a state of belonging, comfort, understanding, and that type of understanding is referred to as das. Das, as you know, means when two ostensibly separate entities become one, like Adam, Yada, Eschava. When what two realms, the physical material realm of my experience and Hashem, it becomes seen as one. The danger here is, like Nadav and Avihu, that it could become so apparent that it's all one and that we could lose our capacity to even think of ourselves as separate entities and want to just merge back into that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see that it's all one and that we're part of this great oneness, but then to operate with a little less vision, okay, to go back into that place where we feel we are separate entities and do something with our separateness, do something with our sense of self. And that, by the way, is what is meant by Vayered Hashem al Ahar. Hashem comes down into our consciousness and we're able to perceive that we are all part of this great Yichud, in which case, what happens to Am Yisrael when it's so clear? Anochi Hashem, what happens? We die, we cease to exist. And then Vayal, when Hashem goes back up, that means the wall gets a little like thicker and we now resume feeling like we're separate. But for what purpose? We are separate in order to experience ourselves as not just autonomous, but important players. If we had to identify the tachlis of Am Yisrael, it would be that through Am Yisrael, that curtain that sort of separates us, and we'll talk about what that is called in Torah, that mechitza that doesn't let us see what we're part of, it is Am Yisrael that is responsible for raising that curtain for the rest of the world. Because to live as if there is that thick, dark curtain that between us, to forget about what's on the other side, to think that just our world as we know it and our logic, which is totally insufficient to understand what's going on in our world, that that's all there is, that is called by Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles, Tachas HaShemesh, and he warns us, it's miserable, it's horrible, it's futile, it's fleeting, and it breaks your spirit. Ra'os Ruach, to operate as if we're alone, and only here obsessed with filling our voids and our needs and in competition with everyone else who's also alone, also possessed with trying to survive without any sense that we are actually provided for, taken care of, and not here to fill our voids, but rather to naturally have our voids filled and to go on to build something. Now, looking inside, okay, this is not in your notes directly. The words the Torah uses in order to express this division between Hashem's everythingness and ourselves that we must have in order to survive, okay, is referred to as Hashem's palm. Hashem's palm. When Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Horeini na kvodecha, show me your kavod. Moshe was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make that uterine wall or that totally transparent. I want to see everything. I want to see the big picture, the exact same thing that Eov asked for. Explain to me everything, how this entire mechanism works and how everything that happens to us down here, everything is part of it. And all of it is designed together to get to a point, where that curtain goes up, or you take away your palm that's blocking, and everybody gets to see that everything that ever happened was all part of the revelation, and it comes through Am Yisrael. Think about Purim. Isn't that what happened on Purim? The curtain went up, and suddenly we realized that all these various parts of the story all came together. The message was through Am Yisrael, and the message was that there is a oneness in play, and there's nothing anyone can do to sabotage it. And in the end, Am Yisrael, who bear this message, will survive, will be empowered, will thrive, will succeed, will go on to the next step. That's what we saw in Purim. And just like on the Yam, we were so happy and we sang Shira, so too in Purim, like who's in my Sa'ora, Vasimcha, Vasason, and the goal is that history is going in a direction, that the final stage, what's already pre-planned, as Kohelet says, l'chol zman, it's all mizuman, is that curtain goes up. We all see that everything that ever happened was all to teach this lesson, and that Am Yisrael were at the center, and everything was happening to us or against us, but in the end, Hashem used it all to teach this message. This idea of the kaf, okay, Moshe says to Hashem, Horeini nas kvodecha. Show me your kavod. Show me that everything in creation teaches this message, which is called kavod. Hakol bara lechvodo. Does not mean Hashem was a little bit feeling inadequate and therefore he created a lot of stuff to give him praise. It means every single thing in existence can be a vehicle for learning and expressing and teaching this lesson, which is called the kavod. Okay? Now, when Moshe said, Horeini na kvodecha, Hashem said, I can't. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, because if you see the whole thing, you'll know that you're really not a separate entity. You won't have the capacity to imagine that your little physical world that you live in and what happens to you has absolute reality. You'll know it's just part of me. It's part of me, and it's teaching this lesson that everything is part of me. You'll realize but like the fetus would realize, it's not a separate entity at all. So Hashem says, I will give you a little glimpse of it. I'm going to somehow pass by you with it. I'm going to let my kavod kind of like brush over you. But he says in Shemos 33:22, okay, Lamed Gimel, Chaf Beis, Vaya ba'avor kvodi, when I let my kavod pass, v'samtich, I'm going to put you in the rock over there in a crevice, V'sakosi kapi alecha. I'm going to put my palm in front of you. That palm is that curtain. That's that uterine wall. That's that mechitza, the palm of Hashem, that doesn't let us see this. But we saw it at Mitzrayim, and we saw it on Purim, and we saw that we're the vehicles for this message, and seeing it, we will see it again, not at every person's patira, and in the future, we get to see this yichud, this oneness, and noting and realizing that everything that we thought was God's sphere and everything that happened to us was one big story that we were part of, that is called das, as we said, when two things become one. Now, knowing this means, Shlomo Melech says, if a person lives with this knowledge, and all the mitzvahs in the Torah are for us to keep us constantly aware of this so we never fall into the trap, which is called tachas hashemesh, okay, we will live a very different sort of life. But if we forget this, here's what happens. Shlomo says, you can look in your notes, I looked, everything in Tachas HaShemesh breaks your spirit. It's Ra'os Ruach. Tachas HaShemesh means the following. I am alone. There's nothing but what I see. I have nothing but my logic to tell me why things are happening. My logic doesn't seem sufficient to explain to me what's happening, therefore I'm confused, and I'm worried, and like Eov, I'm angry, and I demand an explanation, and I think that I operate in a sphere, which you look here, Perek 4:4 in the notes, I operate in a milieu where the only people I see and the only things I know are what are here with me, so to speak, in front of the curtain, tachas hashemesh, under the sun, forgetting completely that everything happening in front of the curtain is explained by a much bigger plan, so to speak, behind the scenes, or in the fetus muscle, by the larger existence I'm part of. But I don't see that. I'm convinced that it's just what I see here. And I measure my value, my self-worth, by how I'm doing vis-a-vis everyone else here on this side of the curtain. Everyone else who's equally clueless, equally helpless, equally not aware of their role and what's happening here, how it's affecting and causing an impact in the big picture. And I start only measuring my worth based on how I'm doing vis-a-vis the people here in front of the curtain with me. And everything is driven, Shlomo Melech says, I see that everything, all effort, all kisharon, everything everybody does is driven by kinas ish re'ehu, jealousy. How am I doing compared to them? Totally forgetting that my role is to be a keli, to be a source of that great kavod, to raise the curtain a little bit. That's my role, to be somebody who through me, Hashem, shows that everything is one. You know, many of us have a story in our own lives where we see, like a puzzle, pieces falling into place. A grandfather from four generations ago who did that, who's now it's coming out that their grandchild goes and, I mean, I'm thinking of a story in my family, but we all have stories how puzzle pieces somehow click together. We say, whoa, there's a big picture here. Am Yisrael operate with this feeling at all times, which means, unlike operating Tachas HaShemesh, where everybody here is a threat to me because we are all motivated by filling voids. Hey, it's a big world. I need food. I need clothing. I need shelter. There's X amount of resources. I need to try to get my hands on them. So does everybody else. And more than physical voids that I need, there's another void in play. I need significance. And I don't know where to get it from, except if other people think I'm significant. They're my source of significance. And I'm trying to get significance, a sense of being someone, filling my voice. And what I end up doing based on this fear and this need is I start instrumentalizing everyone around me. And if I was given a Jewish education and I was told that there's a big God, boss man in the sky over there, and I'm a physical creature over here, I have my needs, and Hashem is the only one who can fulfill them, and I live in that same state of being alone because God's over there, then I end up instrumentalizing God himself. I'll do this mitzvah for you if you give me food. And that's what people think tefillah is. I'll be good, so you'll be happy, and then you'll do what I want because I'm alone and I'm afraid and I have lots of voids to fill. And I need to know that I can somehow have a method to fill them. And I guess that's what the mitzvahs are for, so I could get what I need. And so I'll do them in order to keep you happy, and then maybe I'll get the things I need. And if that doesn't work, you end up with the Yov. Why is this happening? I'm so good. I demand an explanation. Mitzvahs are not to keep Hashem happy so we get what we need. The ideal paradigm is, like the fetus in the womb, our food and our clothing and our shelter and our security is provided for automatically, as long as we know that we're part of this greater existence, this yichud. That's what all the bracha in the Torah is. The bracha in the Torah is, if you keep the mitzvahs, because you know that through you, I am revealing to the world my kavod, that the everythingness of Hashem, which was so exciting to see, like in the Purim story, so thrilling, so comforting, so incredibly joyous to understand that. If you live with that knowledge, of course everything will be provided for you. Listen, a fetus doesn't have to beg its mother for food. It's automatic. We shouldn't have to beg for our basic needs. We didn't even ask to be here. Now we have to beg for our needs. That is not the relationship. The relationship is, it's if we know that we're part of Hashem's existence, even though that kaf, that palm of Hashem, which didn't let Moshe see the whole thing, because otherwise he wouldn't survive, if we know that that's Hashem's palm, and one day in the future it will be lifted and we'll get to see the whole thing, then we understand that the mitzvahs keep us focused on that. They don't let us forget that. And we don't fall into the trap using even God himself and the mitzvahs themselves as instruments to try to get what we need, which is basically one big, terrible, miserable manipulation of God in a frenzy of survival of the fittest. So what, trying to survive. So what is tefillah? What do we do when we daven? If we're not begging for the stuff we need in order, or because we're, God doesn't know we need, so we're reminding him, or we're not making deals, hey, I'll do this for you if you do that for me, or we're not being like helpless creatures begging for our food and our clothing and our shelter because actually we should get that automatically, right? We didn't ask to be here. Somebody gives birth to a child, they don't have to beg for their food. So what are we doing in tefillah? What is tefillah? So tefillah, the word, this is from Moshe Shapiro. So much of this is from Moshe Shapiro. The word lehitpalel means, first of all, the heitaf is hitpael, it's reflexive. I'm doing it to myself. Like hitlabashti, I dress myself. So hitpalel is to do something to myself. Pilel or plilim, it basically means judges, to set judges who set things in order, to create order. I am judging myself if everything is in order, meaning Hashem is expecting us. This is our mission. This is what we are doing for mankind. This is the greatest tikkun olam. This is our job for humanity, to take them out of that horrible place called Tachas Hashemesh, where everyone is alone and everyone is scared and everybody's functioning based on fear and everybody's in competition with everybody else and everybody's trying to fill voids and that's all they're busy doing because there's no time for anything else. And there's also, and there's constantly more voids to fill. And so we're just here trying to avoid pain and have the things we need till we die, okay? We want to get people, it's misery. Nobody should have to live in a state of mind like that. Nobody should have to live with jealousy of others who are doing better and anger because this isn't fair. Why don't I get more? And confusion and depression that I'm out of control and I can't control my situation. And defeatism. I tried and I didn't get back what I thought I would get. Nobody should have to live like that. Everybody should live in a state of knowing I belong and I am loved and I am provided for. And not only that, but I know that I am part of the great Yichud and I see signs of it all around. And Hashem is depending on me to raise that curtain to so more and more and more in everybody's lives it will become apparent that this is true and that they're not alone. Tefillah is how well am I doing as a keli in raising that curtain, in giving a glimpse to everyone who crosses my path that they are not alone, that they're part of a great oneness, which we'll all see one day. How am I doing with the brains and the money and the talent and the intelligence and the strength? How am I doing as a vehicle for Hashem's kavod? That's what we ask ourselves in tefillah. And we don't beg for food or remind Hashem we need food or make deals in order to get food. We say, of course, food is in the package. The only reason people don't have food today is not because Hashem doesn't provide enough. It's because of corruption by governments in distribution of the food because they are living tachas Hashemesh, afraid that they won't have enough, so they're hoarding it from everybody else to have some sense of security and control, and they don't care about anyone else because when you're operating out of fear, you just can't worry about anybody else. It's not your fault. In fact, we learned this morning, Rabbi Rimon, that if a person's in such abject fear, they could be Mechal Shabbos. I'm not a posek, but somehow, some way, there's some dispensation. Fear, you can't operate with, you can't live with fear. Nothing matters with fear. Our job is to do our part to raise that curtain. So we ask ourselves, how am I doing? And we say, Hashem, if you give me more money, more health, more strength, I affirm, I commit, I recommit to use it for the purpose you've given it to me for, not to squander it so that I could fill my voids in a competition with everyone else and just use it for pleasure or to, you know, avoid pain. But I promise to use it as it's meant to be used, as a source of Hashem's kavod, which is, by the way, Rosh Hashanah. He says, Zochreinu l'chaim, melechafetz v'chaim, v'kasveinu b'sefer chaim. Why? L'man chav, for you. So Kohelis's main message is the following. If a person operates tachas Hashemesh, it is ra'os ruach. Now, ra, let's get to a few terms now. Tzadik rasha, tumatara, schar onesh, ratov, all these things make sense. First of all, tumatara. Tamei means atum. You can't see through it. It's blocked. The kaf, the curtain, you can't see to the other side, as if there is no other side, as if there's no yichud. It's just here, me, my situation, my logic, which is insufficient, my control, which is insufficient. That's all there is. That's what I got. That's what I'm working with. And that leaves me in a very unfortunate position, emotionally, psychologically. That's atum. It's blocked. Tameh. What is tahor? Transparent. You see through. Moshe had aspaklaria me'ira. He always saw through. By the way, the reason that death makes us tamei is because when somebody dies, if we're operating tachat Hashemesh, we say, okay, this is it, and it's over. What is ra and tov? Rav Shapiro always explains that ra, the shoresh ra, okay, means unsuitable. So a kisei ra'ua, a chair with three legs, is a chair that is unsuitable for its tachlis. You can't sit in it. It only has three legs. It's ra'ua. It doesn't work. A sulam ra'ua, a ladder that is ra'ua, is shaky. It's not suitable for the tachlis. Anything here that is described as ra is something that is unsuitable for the tachlis of revealing that there's only one yichud. Anything that's tov, good, which could even be yisurim, is suitable for that purpose. What is a tzaddik? What is a rasha? Both the tzaddik and the rasha are operating like in the womb or in front of the curtain. The difference is the tzaddik knows that what's happening here is just part of the story and everything is like the Purim story, part of a plan to reveal the oneness. The rasha doesn't know it. So the rasha is scrambling. The tzaddik is living in a state of consistent confidence, ayin tov, for sympathy for other people, compassion, not angry, not judgmental, not afraid, emuna. It's a different life. They're both in the same place, but one knows that there's yichud and one doesn't. What is schar va'onesh? Schar v'onesh is simply the raising of the curtain. How do we feel? What happens when the curtain goes up? Think about the brothers of Yosef. Think about Haman. Think about Haman. He thought, tachas Hashemesh, that everything he was doing, that he had control, that he can manipulate things, and that he could get in the way of the Jewish people and their message, which is the message of Yichud. And then when suddenly the curtain went up and he said, oh my goodness, not only did I not get in their way, I empower them. I put Esther on the throne to kill me. I made Mordechai rich by having this huge estate that went to him. I built the gallows that Hashem could hang the enemies, me, of the Jewish people on. I put Mordechai on that horse. Actually, everything I did was used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prove the Yichud. So my whole effort, everything, all my little world I lived in didn't exist. My story didn't exist. My power, my capacity to hurt the Jews, it never existed. Rav Moshe Shapiro says, Gehenim is when the curtain goes up and we realize, like the brothers of Yosef, when Yosef said, Ani Yosef, the curtain goes up and we realize that our reality does not exist. There's e mitziyut. There's no existence to it all. It was an illusion. It never existed to begin with. The brothers of Yosef's story that we are in danger, this is an evil king, our family is about to be divided and broken up, everything's in jeopardy, that story didn't exist. Haman's story, it didn't exist. And when that curtain goes up and we see that the illusion that we were alone here and all that fear we lived with and all that competition we lived with, It was unnecessary. There was no point to it. It wasn't part of the story at all. We feel horrified and remorseful at the way we lived. But if we kept the mitzvahs, which always reminded us of the big picture, and we always knew, I don't know why this is happening in my life right now, but I know I will know one day. And I don't know why I have to do shanes, but I know I will one day. And I do understand about all the mitzvahs, ben adam lechaveiro, the los ases, I can't kill and I can't steal and I can't lie. I know why. You know why? Because nobody is a threat to me. Because Hashem is my provider through people, but they're not in charge of taking care of me. They're here with me in the womb. So I don't have to worry about them. I don't have to live with that fear. So I'm honest. Hashem will provide through many, many shlichim. And we live knowing that there's a bigger story that we are part of, that one day we'll see what we did and how much of an impact it made on raising the curtain. And we live now, and 99% of success is living now with that trust and with that calmness and with that lack of fear and lack of manipulation and instrumentalization of everybody in our lives somehow, some way, to get what we need. If I live without that, when the curtain goes up, we say, of course. And that experience called Das keeps expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. And we keep seeing how more and more and more details come together. And I'll end with this idea. That is actually, Rav Moshe explains, how we are counting Sfira. We're not counting 10 days to Shavuos, 9, 8, 7, 6. We're counting, there's an Omer. And it's like getting bigger every day. 2 days of the Omer, 10 days of the Omer, 25 days of the Omer, 30 days of the Omer, and 49 days. And then we give the Shtei Alechem. The idea is like this. The first day, everyone knows this, the first day of the Omer, we give barley. That represents animal feed. In the beginning, our consciousness is very small. We think, here we are, and we need to survive like an animal, and that's what we're here for. But as we begin to see, okay, more and more and more, we begin to see, like in the Pesach story, like in the Purim story. And by the way, the only difference between Pesach and Purim is that Pesach, Hashem used nature to prove this. And on Purim, Hashem used human nature. That no matter what you people did, Hashem used their own choices to prove this. And by the way, Purim is a glimpse at Achras HaYamim, how it's going to be. And we realize that this conception of the Echad is just growing and growing and growing and growing until we realize by Shavuos, everything is part of the Echad. Everything. Everything that ever happened, that we ever understood, it's all part of the Echad. There's nothing in existence that could be outside of the Yichud, because we saw in Har Sinai, which we're about to get to, right? Ata reis aladas, Yishem Elokim, say b'shemayim ma'al, aris mitachas, einod milvado. There's nothing but we're part of it. The message is coming through us. Everything is part of the message. If we live with that, and that's what the mitzvos are for, we keep that in mind, that when the curtain goes up, it's pure joy, it's shira, it's lahudzimai sa'ora, v'simcha, v'sason. But if we forget, and we come here in front of the curtain, we start using mitzvahs to manipulate God, not for our own benefit, as if God needs them. We start praying in a way that's poison, to try to manipulate Hashem, get what we need. We start getting angry and frustrated and jealous and afraid and depressed and defeated, breaking our spirit. And no person is meant to live in Hashem's world feeling alone. And that's why, and this is the real final last point, the first two dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the everything, but Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, the worst sin of all is to feel alone so that you have to appease or manipulate or somehow, you know, please some force so you should get what you need because you're all alone and you're all afraid. The worst sin of all the sins that a person can possibly do is feel alone and feel that they're scrambling to survive and that it's all about finding ways to fill their voids. That is a sin. That is the biggest sin. Nobody should be meant to live like that, and not even Umos Olam, the nations of the world, and that's our role as our Lagoyim. And the fact is, even Israel, you know, the 70th birthday of Eretz Yisrael, of Medina Yisrael, Look at Israel, the most secular Jews in the world. They have imbibed this message fully. And you know how you know? Because when there's an earthquake in Turkey and a landslide in Haiti, who's there first? You know why we're there first? Because we know, we don't care that they don't know it, and they won't repay us, and they won't help us, and they won't even vote for us. But we know that we're all together, part of one big yichud, and we're not alone competing with each other. They're not threats to us. We're all together here. And Hashem provides for all of us. And we don't view everybody else as competition or a danger. We view everyone else, we identify with everyone else. We understand we're all in a similar predicament. And we know that there is a oneness, which means that, which everyone will know, and that knowing that makes us feel not afraid, not alone, and we, the Jews, know that, and we don't want anyone else to feel alone, because there's no reason to feel alone, because no one is alone, because we're all already part of Hashem's existence. And we want to extend that feeling to everybody, even if they're not ready to appreciate it. And that's why we run. That's why Jews run to help other people, because not being alone is the most important achievement in this world, and it comes from knowing what we learned on Pesach and learned on Purim, that there is a yichud that we are part of, and the message comes through Am Yisrael and those who become part of Am Yisrael, and that is why we keep the mitzvahs, so we can keep that message alive, because that makes us constantly prepared to see the curtain going up, and instead of chas v'shalom feeling terrible remorse, and what Rav Moshe says, that our illusion fades, our whole story never existed at all. We feel we belong, we have a place, it's eternal, it's real, and we were the source of that kavod, of that are finally coming to the world. That's our job. And we get to take credit for it when we do it, and we get to feel great satisfaction, which Kohelet says, when we do that. So I wish everybody a beautiful Shavuos, and great hatzlacha in living with this consciousness at all times.